she's real fine, my 409.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing on 105.3 The Fan.
Well, I saved my pennies.
Good morning. Welcome to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing. Your host, David Blassingame.
Good morning.
Tammy Pickard.
Hello.
Colby Sapp.
Hello.
And me, I'm Sybil Summers. Welcome, welcome. Our phone number is 877-881-1053. Call us right now in the studio. Maybe you are going back and forth between a couple different cars. You can get expert advice for free right now. Just call and talk to David and Tammy. You can always send us Autoflex Leasing fan texts at 43733. And you can call Autoflex. They are open today. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234. 1234 out of the area. You can also go to the Autoflex Leasing website, autoflex.com, find out a little bit more about leasing there. Certainly, you can see all our great pre-owned cars. And if you'd like to follow along with the stories or read a lot more automotive stories, you can go to the Facebook page at autoflex.com. And everything we cover in the show will be there, plus lots more.
Mm-hmm. And then some.
That's right.
And then some. So let's get into our first story for today, hotspots. I didn't even know this, but last week we were broadcasting live from a restaurant and this girl walks in and she whips out this little black box and it said Sprint on it. And I was like, what is that? And she goes, it's an internet hotspot.
I got one.
You do?
Uh-huh.
I've never seen one before.
Well, and if you're on 4G, it doesn't do you a lot of good because if you're 4G already, you're not going to get a lot of speed. But if you're 3G, it'll pick up the speed on your iPad, stuff like that.
Interesting.
So wherever David goes, that's the hotspot.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, but now GM is talking about putting hotspots in all of their vehicles.
I love this.
Eventually worldwide, but in their vehicles in North America by model year 2015. And what it's going to do is give them the ability to have you be connected to the internet without a telephone.
That's cool.
The key, because right now everybody's, beside a couple of manufacturers, everyone's car connection is dependent on your phone connection. But this is going to make your car internet ready, basically. So you could, in fact, you could network your house as long as you leave your car on. it'll cost you some
dial-up
gas.
Dial-up sound right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah, sounded like a fax machine.
Yeah, that deal. Anyway, it's really sort of cool because.
Oh.
When did I lose control?
Right there.
Never had
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I think
never
that was it.
Had it.
That was it. Anyway, it's they're the first manufacturer to come out and actually say they're going to make hotspots out of their cars. There are two manufacturers right now that currently do it, but they do it at a 3G level, which is slower, and that's Mercedes and Audi. Audi next year is planning on equipping more of their cars and moving to 4G as is Mercedes-Benz. None of the other manufacturers have really come forth with definite plans on this yet. It's sort of a deal changer, though, because that means that you got Pandora radio. You get all that neat stuff.
Yes.
Without having to have a phone with you. You can just drive without having to have your phone on.
That is so cool.
Chrysler Group offers embedded 3G system on three of their nameplates, too. I'll have to look up which three.
Yeah. At any rate, it's a game changer, and it's a smart thing to do. It's going to run the cost of the car up a little bit. The other thing is their deal with GM was made with AT&T, and I'm not sure if there's going to be a subscription charge that goes along with that.
Oh.
And they didn't talk about that in the story. So there may be a subscription charge that goes along with it.
So will it be on all the cars, or is it just an upgrade that you can get?
No, it's going to be on all their cars. They're going to start out with Highlines and then go from there. And by 2015, they said they'll have it in every car.
And if you're in the car and you just have a regular phone or something, you can get on the internet through their car, right?
Yep.
Or if you have a laptop.
Yep.
You can get in.
Exactly.
With their, and that's so cool.
Yeah.
Love this idea.
Well, and the other thing is you can stream movies to your, but like your back seat for the
yeah.
kids.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I wonder.
I'm like one of those kids. Yeah.
Yeah. 4G cool. lets you do that.
This is actually really cool
yes,
technology. There's a lot of stuff that cars come with that I never use, but this one is usable
mm-hmm.
for me anyways. I think it's really cool.
I know. That's more multitasking you can do.
That's right. Although I'm sure they'll have that standard safety option or feature that everyone does now where you can't use it while the car's in motion. Which
does
is
your
always
phone turn off when the car's in motion?
No.
What standard feature are you talking about?
A lot of nav systems on cars. You can't plug anything in. Even if I'm a passenger and the driver's, you know, 10 and 2, I can't plug in if the car's in motion.
Okay, it would stream. You probably just wouldn't be able to start making different selections.
Well, and here's the other thing. They can update your nav system on a regular basis. So when things change, you get a new nav.
Right, that way you're not outdated in 5 minutes.
So there's a lot of things. If they have problems with the software on the car, they can correct those problems without ever having to look at the car or touch it. They could send the software correction over the internet.
Cool.
And get it into the car. So yeah, it's going to do a lot of stuff. It's going to make it pretty neat.
What if you could Skype or FaceTime with somebody while you were driving?
Well, again, you've got that problem about, well, we know,
look
don't
at me.
We?
Yes.
They would really be watching you, but you wouldn't be able to see them because you'd be driving.
Yeah.
Sure.
Mm. This is a good idea, though.
Well, I think it'll
put
sell some cars.
Put them in the passenger seat and let them help you watch the road.
Yeah.
You get to be on the HOV lane. Hey, look, I got somebody with me. They're right here. They're in their passenger seat.
Now we're talking. Yes.
Tell me they're not here. Their face is here and they're talking.
Yes. Prove it in a court of law.
Autoflex Leasing Fantext. I bought an 07 Tacoma for $20,000, which is its blue book value. It has 50,000 miles. I didn't buy the gap insurance or the extended warranty. Did I make a mistake? Couple of things. Probably no big deal with the extended warranty because Toyota is very reliable. So if you have a problem, it's probably going to come 50,000 or around 50,000 plus. Oh, it's got 50? Should have gotten a warranty.
This is point and counterpoint.
Yeah, he should have gotten a warranty. He's got 50,000 miles on it. And the other thing is, anytime you buy a car, you're not going to be right side up for the first couple of years.
So I'm a fan of gap insurance. It's pretty inexpensive little insurance policy to keep you from having to come up with thousands of dollars out of pocket should there be a total loss of the vehicle. So just drive carefully. Avoid anybody else that could run you over.
Right.
And hopefully you'll be fine there. I'm a huge fan of the extended warranty. One of our customers bought the extended warranty on their Mercedes ML. And I think I mentioned this before. The failed part was, the failed component was deep inside the engine. The repair cost between $6,000 and $7,000. Most of that was labor.
And how much did it cost your customer?
$100 deductible.
That's it.
Nice.
Yeah, and if you're going to get a 50,000-mile used car, even if it's a Toyota, you should get an extended warranty.
And the extended warranty for it is going to be reasonably priced because it's not too terribly expensive to repair them. So really, I guess if you have some cash, you can self-insure. You know, and
yeah,
take
you could,
chances,
or you could give us a call and we could arrange for an extended warranty on the car.
Still, yeah, it's not too late.
No, it's not. So, give us a call 817 or 972-234-1234, and we can help you with an extended warranty. That's
easy.
But if
you were going to take a risk, I think the Tacoma is a good one to take a risk on.
Yeah, it's a great truck.
Mm-hmm.
Another Autoflex Leasing Fantext, clearly not on the right show. I have an injury due to 3 car accidents. Is microsurgery an option?
Why are you?
I'm not sure. I don't know. You've got the wrong show.
I'm sorry about your terrible injury, too.
I am, too. You texted the wrong people, though. We're car
people.
Good luck,
Charles.
Well, it was a car accident.
It was. They need Dr. Schwartz.
That's right. Consumer Reports came out with their top picks for the year.
Dun-dun-dun.
Yeah.
Well, and this is their opinion.
Well, and
not mine.
Okay. And their opinion's fairly consistent because they like Asian cars better than they like German cars, better than they like
American cars.
So, and it's been that way for a long time. And their top picks are Lexus, Subaru, and Mazda. Now, that's going to vary a little bit from some of the other surveys that are out there, but they're all pretty solid vehicles. Their best car for the money for a midsize sedan, the Honda Accord, and I totally agree with that. The 2013 Honda Accord is a much, much improved car over the 2012. The best sports car, again, most of the surveys say this, the Scion FRS and the Subaru BRZ, which are the same car, basically, that was a joint venture by Toyota and Subaru is the best sports car. Best budget car, Hyundai Elantra. The best green car, Toyota Prius. None of these cars are really a surprise. The top of the list was Lexus, Subaru, Mazda, Toyota, Acura, Honda, Scion. Then the Infiniti and Audi and Mercedes sort of come in the middle. And down, unfortunately, toward the bottom, you've got the Buick, the Chrysler, the Ford, the Lincoln, the Jeep. And at the very bottom was the Dodge.
But
and this is purely their opinion, but they don't take advertising.
Well, you need to read what they are scoring. You need to read the actual report. For example, Ford, I believe, scored so low because of the Ford MyTouch system not operating perfectly. But I have to say, still love my Ford Edge. And
well, as far as the car's operation, other than the MyTouch, it did great.
Right.
So, but a lot of people had trouble with the MyTouch, so it drug the score down.
So that brought the score way down. So yeah. You've got to think about what are the features that are important to you. Read those reports, and that way you can choose it. I mean, Lexus is at the top, but you get what you pay for. Who can afford that? Not me.
Mm-hmm. Well, now here's the other thing. I mean, when they test these cars, they do it sort of interestingly because they actually buy the cars to test them. So they're not being given cars. They're not being influenced by that. Then they drive them for a couple of thousand miles to sort of break them in a little bit. Then they start testing them. So they get more of a real-world kind of a feel. A lot of people feel like that they're biased. A lot of people feel like they're biased against the domestic vehicles. I don't know. I think we lease all makes and models, and we'll give you an honest opinion if you call us about a car. And they're right about some of these cars. Some of these cars just have more problems than others. Mm-hmm. It's just how it is.
All right, we got to take a quick break, but when we come back, we will talk to Michael Koresh of TrueDelta.com. So stay tuned to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back. It is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing, David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Colby, and me, Sybil. Our phone number is 877-881-1053. As always, you can send us your Autoflex Leasing fan texts to 43733, and you can call Autoflex. They are open today. What are the numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, out of the area.
Let's check in with Michael Koresh. He's from TrueDelta.com. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for joining us. Let's tell all of our listeners what TrueDelta.com is all about.
We're all about, we collect information on people's cars from them, and then we put it all together, and we put it on the site so everyone can learn a lot about their cars.
So it's real information from the actual car drivers and car owners themselves.
Exactly.
Unbiased.
We cover reliability, how often cars need repairs, what kind of fuel economy they get in the real world, and what people like and don't like about them.
It's Michael, hey, good morning. It's David.
Good morning, David.
How long have you guys been doing this? How long have you had the online presence and had the real information from actual people?
Getting close to 9 years.
And how many members do you have reporting their information on their cars on your website?
About 27,000 in the most recent round.
Wow.
That's great.
Now, the difference in TrueDelta.com and a lot of other websites is you only use actual experience from the people that register their cars. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's one thing that's different, yes.
Okay. And so if you would, let's say you said you talked about mileage. What kind of mileage differences do you see between the actual mileage that people get and the mileage that's printed on the window stickers of the cars?
Well, the thing we do differently, I think if you drive in a certain way, you can usually get pretty close to those numbers on the window sticker. What we do with our fuel economy that other people don't is we ask people about their driving style and their driving conditions. And depending on how heavy you are on that pedal, on the brake pedal and the gas pedal,
mm-hmm.
and depending on how many stops you have to do per mile, are you pretty much just cruising, or are you, stopping every block or two? That's what makes a big difference in whether you get those numbers or not.
Yeah.
So we ask that, and we put that with the number so you can see how that person was driving and what kind of driving they were doing.
Okay, so again, I've been to the site because I'm actually a member, so that was easy. So I was looking at, you do driving in town, driving out of town, uphill. You put all of those things in there, and then you have the results from that. It gives people, because people that live in the mountains have different ratings or different gas mileage than people that live in the flatlands like we do here in Dallas.
Yeah, they definitely can. They definitely can. I mean, it's even like, I get a car a week to review in most weeks, and I noticed that, like with the BMW X3 I had last week, if I was pretty hard on it, you drive it like you might expect to drive a BMW, I get 19. If I was really easy on it, I get 30. So you can get a very wide range just based on how you're driving, too.
That's huge. You also do price comparisons, and you do very, very accurate price comparisons. And I guess, does that come from people that have actually bought cars too, or is that just price from the manufacturer?
No, that's the one thing that's not owner-supplied data, is that what we do with the price comparisons is first we let you select two cars and select what you want on both cars so that both cars will have pretty much the same equipment on them, which is, you know, one thing I noticed people doing on their own is they would compare a loaded-up version of Car X with a stripped version of Car Y and decide that Car X was expensive. And, you know, they weren't really comparing apples to apples. So I tried to set up the pricing tool to make it easy to make sure they had, you know, similar equipment on them. So you select both cars, and you select from one list which things you want on both cars, and it puts that on both cars. And then what it does after that is it then looks and sees, you know, for those who are interested, what things are still on one car, not another. Like maybe one car has a sunroof and the other one doesn't, things like that. And then it kind of adjusts for those two, so it gives you a before a feature-adjusted price comparison, and then it looks at how the features differ, then it also gives a price comparison after adjusting for the different features.
And so when people, and then they get past that and they purchase or lease a car, we hope they lease it, you also have a listing of problems, and that's where people actually write in and talk about the difficulties that they've had, the issues on the cars, and how they were repaired, and the reliability of the car, basically.
Yeah, that's the primary focus of the site. And what we really do differently there is that first we update four times a year. Not other surveys do it once a year. We update four times a year so we can have information on new cars sooner, and so we can track them very closely as they age. Because the Consumer Reports is one that many people go to, and they have a new auto issue hitting newsstands now. What's not so well known is that new issue is based on a survey that was conducted back in April 2012. So it's nearly a year old, that data,
right?
Based on those cars when they were nearly a year newer. And as anyone who's owned a car knows, you know, at some point you can go from, you know, 1 year to the next, suddenly you're having a lot more problems than you were earlier. That won't show up in their data for quite some time because they have a lot of lag. With our results we've just updated, we're covering through the end of 2012, so our information is just a couple months old right now, and that's tracking pretty closely. The other thing we do is we actually put the actual repair frequency out there. We have an actual number, so you know how many problems are these cars having. You don't just have like a dot, that a red dot or a black dot or whatever, which you don't really know what that means. And the thing we see with these is that you know, in most cases that number is pretty low these days. Surprisingly low in a lot of cases. I mean, there's a lot of cars out there that hardly any of them are having problems. It's so different than when I was growing up, when you bought a car, you knew you were going to go back to the dealer to have little stuff fixed after you took delivery of a car. That was just a given. It was just how many things you'd have to have fixed, not whether you had to. These days, most cars don't need to go back in for anything.
They do. They do a much, much better job. It seems like when there are problems, they're pretty well like centralized. It'll be one brand, one make, one problem, and it'll be pretty broad spread over the entire line of that car. But as far as a lot of cars having problems, most cars don't have problems anymore.
Right. This is Tammy here. I have to say I've had my Ford Edge for about a year and a half, and the only thing it needed was the update to work on the Ford MyTouch system for their little navigation upgrade. Other than that, I haven't been back to the just maintenance, you know, oil changes.
Yeah, that one is common, and that is one thing we've cut Ford a little slack there, not intentionally, but a while back I decided not to count a free software update as a problem.
I agree.
Because I started seeing this with new transmissions starting about 5 years ago. These new electronic transmissions, we're getting software updates all the time in some cases.
Right.
And I thought, man, this is starting to be like your computer where the thing's updating the software every, you know, couple weeks.
Right.
Or and so I'm like, should we? And I decided, you know, as long as they're free, don't count the software update. And in the future, you're not going to even know of these because they're setting up new cars now to have these done over the internet and over cellular, I mean, actually.
Yeah, right. Well, we talked about that a little earlier in the show. Chevrolet's announced that they're going to make all their cars mobile hotspots by the year 2015.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they've announced doing this. They probably are planning. I know Chrysler has announced that they're going to make their cars internet connected so they can then download any software updates.
Right.
You know, I like the way that Ford did the update on the MyTouch because they sent you the memory stick. They mailed you a memory stick, and you plugged it into the dash, and it did the update. I thought that was genius, given that was the most effective way to do thousands of vehicles at one time.
It probably saved them some money versus having the dealer do it, and it saved people the trouble of taking it in. So I got to agree, that was a smart move.
We're talking to Michael Koresh from TrueDelta.com. And, Michael, since you get to see so many different kinds of cars, you know the goods and the bads, what do you personally drive? Do you mind telling us?
No, but, you know, what I'm personally still driving is a old Mazda Protege 5 just because it's a fun little car and I like how it drives. And they don't really make any small, light cars like that anymore. Everything's gotten heavier and fancier.
Right.
Yeah.
I sold a lot of those Mazda Protégés. Yeah. At least two. Good car.
Another thing that you offer on True Delta is a why not, or why buy or why not buy this car, which is sort of an interesting thing. And you do comparison side by side on cars, which I thought was another very interesting thing. So you take cars that are likely to be compared by consumers, and you actually do that comparison for them right there at True Delta.
Well, we have two reviews in that format. There's ones I personally write where I'm doing that, and then owners can do the same thing with any car they want to do. And so then they compare. You know, the comparison is optional, but the way I envisioned it is people would compare the car they did buy with their second choice, the one that they thought about buying but didn't buy. And that the intent was to really drill down to what people shopping for a car really want from a review, which is why should I buy this car or why should I not buy this car, which is what I was, you know, what those reviews are intended to focus on.
I haven't read your site yet, but I'm curious, how much do cup holders and cubby holes to store things come into play in the vehicles that are more like the family mobiles?
Here you're probably playing on my weakness that I don't pay attention to that stuff, but I know a lot of people do.
Okay. Well, then I didn't mean to put you in that.
I'm kind of old-fashioned that way. When I'm driving a car, I focus on driving it.
Oh.
But I know that those are, I mean, you can't, you know, every car's got some cup holders. They've gotten away from the fancy ones to some extent. They were fancier for a while, but those were prone to failure. So a lot of times these days, the manufacturers have gone back to just putting a hole in the console, and hopefully your cup fits right.
Yeah. Well, since we're in the business, our clients come in and they do compare different models side by side, and those are some of the things that seem to come out when people are on their test drive, is all the convenient.
Mm-hmm.
That is an excellent point. I'm sure owners have reviewed that on the site, and when in my own review, I'm going to have to start paying more attention to that.
Okay, good.
We have them compare whether their dog kennels will fit, where the baby seats fit
the
best.
Seats.
Yeah,
how much leg room they have before their child can reach the driver's seat to kick it.
No, it's true.
Makes a big difference.
Yes.
What I did years ago when I had my third child, and I did not want to get a big three-row vehicle because I like how small cars handle, is I actually ended up going and shopping car seats to make sure, because some of them are bigger than others.
Right.
I decided rather than buy a new car to fit the other kid, maybe I just needed a new car seat.
There you go.
And that actually worked because my older ones were big enough for boosters at that point when I had the third, and turns out there was some good booster seats out there that aren't these massive things.
Right. Well, that's a good point, too.
But a lot of people think, you know, they've got to buy the car to fit the seat. And I'm like, you know, why spend $20,000 when you can spend $200?
It's similar to when our clients say they want a four-wheel drive Suburban because they go snow skiing in New Mexico once a year.
Yeah.
And then I remind them that they could rent that for the week.
Or people that buy a pickup because they're going to move next year. No, they do. They do silly stuff.
Right.
Well, people, sometimes they just want the pickup and then they have a justification for it.
Exactly.
Yeah. You also have an area on True Delta called My Garage. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, My Garage is just where people can keep their personal cars records organized and all the links to it on the site. So if they want to, with the cars they own, what it'll do is it'll link to all the places they can to input information on the car in one place, and it also links to the results we have so far for that model. And if someone doesn't have a car yet but they're interested in, you know, keeping track of all the information on it, they can add that to a wish list, and then they can do the same thing. They can just go from the from My Garage, from that car in My Garage, and go to the fuel economy for it, to the reliability reports on it, to the reviews on it, and so forth, from one place.
Well, Michael, I was impressed with your site the first time I saw it. You know, we've been talking for probably, a year?
Oh, I think it's been more than that. You know,
it probably has been.
You call. I'm so happy we finally got this together. Every time you would call and say, you know, we have this new feature right around the corner. How about we wait till after that? There's always something new coming out.
Uh-huh.
And so, I'm like, we got a good redesign out a while back, and now, and this, we have new stuff coming in the future. But right now, we're in a good spot. I mean, we've got this redesign going well, and we just updated the reliability results so people can now see how cars are doing, all the way through the end of 2012.
Let me ask you a question. How much does it cost for people to join True Delta?
It's not, we have two different ways. If people don't want to help provide the data, it's $10 for 3 months. But the way most people go is if you agree to help, provide the science information, it's free.
Well, that sounds like a deal.
Anything, and it's just, you provide information, you get information. It's just an equal exchange that way.
It's free, and I get to provide my opinion. I love it.
Yeah, you get to write about cars.
And this website, again, is truedelta.com?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, that's about true, and then Delta is one way of talking about a difference. So the whole idea of the site is to focus on the real differences between cars.
Love it.
And the difference that I found is the site is as far as I can tell, is pretty darned accurate on everything you say. And that makes sense because everything you say or everything that's on the site comes from actual owners and their experiences.
And just like us, you're not driven by somebody's advertising or marketing or a manufacturer. This is your site and real information. And that's how we bring information to our clients. They can compare every make and model. We don't have a dog in that fight. We want the best vehicle for our client so they get to pick the one they want because we lease and sell all makes and models.
Right. You could go to True Delta and read about the side-by-side comparisons. And then once you narrow it down to your final two, go to Autoflex and drive them.
Exactly.
Yep. Sounds like a good plan.
Michael, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We really, really appreciate you. Again, the site, truedelta.com. And if you haven't gone to it, folks, go to it because it's worth your time. If you're a car guy or if you're interested in maybe getting into the market for a car, you can get some great information there.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Dave. Yeah, we have many, many members who aren't necessarily car people.
Right.
It's a very practically oriented site.
They're drivers.
All right, thank you. Michael Koresh from TrueDelta.com. There he goes. Got to take a quick break, but we'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back. It is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing. If you want to call our studio, the number is 877-881-1053. If you want to send us an Autoflex Leasing fan text, 43733 is that number. And you can call Autoflex today. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234 out of the area. You can also go to autoflex.com and do a lot of stuff. You can get a black book appraisal on your car from autoflex.com. You can learn about leasing. You can apply for a lease online. You can see all of our great pre-owned cars, and you can enter and win the lottery. No, that's a different website. Okay. But you can do pretty well everything on the Autoflex.
He was on a roll.
The lottery, I don't know where it came from.
Making stuff up.
No, Autoflex.com is a great way. More people go online to shop now than ever before. In fact, the number approaches 80% of people going online to shop for cars before they do anything else.
Yes, I do that with everything. If I'm about to buy furniture or clothing or anything, I go look first.
I do too.
Because I don't want to waste my time going in somewhere on foot if they don't have what I want.
Well, and the other thing is you can find out a lot about products online. You have to be really careful, though. I found out that some products hire people and websites hire people to give them good ratings.
What?
They do. And so you have to look. If you're going to check ratings on something, dig down.
Mm-hmm.
Don't look at the last 2 months or 3 months. Go back 6 months and see what the ratings back then said.
Mm.
Because they'll hire people and they'll stack good ratings on bad ratings. In fact, Google eliminated a lot of ratings that people had online because they had hired people to give them good ratings.
How would they even figure out that that was happening?
Because they checked the IP addresses that the computers, and they had one computer that was sending in one right after another.
Wow. That is so sneaky. That's like when celebrities hire people to follow them on Twitter so that it looks like they have more followers.
No
way. Yeah.
What, and did you know that you can buy Facebook likes?
I'm popular.
Wow.
Like. Yeah. There's, I mean, if you go, if
you have to buy your friends.
If you go to an automotive web page, anybody's,
mm-hmm.
okay, and they've got 4,000 or 5,000 likes.
No way.
What are the chances?
Yeah.
That they got 4,000 or 5,000 people following them. No, there's no way.
This doesn't even make sense.
It's goofy. But and so what you do, and I found out about this, I went to a class on internet marketing, and they said what people do is they have companies that sell, and you have to have an email address for every like, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, they sell email addresses in bulk. Like you can spend $2,000 and get 5,000 likes. But it's going to be off email addresses that are based in Bangladesh.
Ah.
So they're from somewhere. They're from Taiwan. They're from somewhere else in the world. And it looks like you have all these people. But, who's going to have 5,000 people following an automotive car site?
So I wonder if it's a bot that's actually putting in those reviews or if someone sits there and manually types them in and that's their job.
No, there are companies that have people that manually type them in and you pay them.
How do we get our good reviews?
We got our good reviews by delivering cars and making people happy. We don't buy anything. We don't cheat.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking at any of our competitors and they've got numbers that look a little weird, check them out.
Oh, no, we don't need to say that.
I'm just saying. Okay, on the first Lacey fan text, I have a 2012 Chevrolet half-ton, 4x4 pickup. Is it a common problem for them to melt the headlight connector? Yes.
Somebody else texted.
Yeah, that is a common problem, and there's actually a recall on those. And if you'll call your local Chevrolet service center, they will fix that for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're not the ones to fix that, but definitely get that checked out. I wouldn't think that would be common at all.
Autoflex Leasing fan text, Yelp charges businesses for good reviews. I don't know that to be true. Actually, Yelp is generally a restaurant. They generally rate restaurants. We only have one Yelp rating, and we have lots
how do
of.
How did you get that?
Somebody went on and rated us, which was good. It was Yelp. A good rating, but normally, our raters, our reviews are on Dealer Rater.
Well, but we're about Google. To have several different things available to our clients.
Yeah, but Dealer Rater is mainly where they rate cars, car dealerships.
So when that says Yelp charges businesses for good reviews, if you get a good review, they come in and dock you for it?
I don't know how that could be.
Or they say, if you give us $50 a month, we'll give you 10 good reviews.
I don't know. I deal with them. I talk to them from time to time, and they've never said anything at all about that. So I don't think that's – maybe it's true, but I don't know it personally to be true.
Interesting.
You need to elaborate.
Let's talk about auto leasing because, of course, you can do it here.
Oh, yeah, let's get back to that.
In DFW with Autoflex Leasing. But you might be surprised to find out the city with the highest leasing rate is
Detroit, Michigan.
Detroit, Michigan.
Nice intro for Detroit there. Thank you, Kobe.
Sounds good, Colt.
It was either that one or this one.
I think that's undeserved. I really do. I mean, I know a fellow that lives up there.
Gosh.
He's lived up there for the last 10 years. He's a tail gunner on a bread truck.
Uh-huh.
He said they don't have problems like that. It's not an issue.
So, that's funny. I've seen the movie 8 Mile.
Get some bread.
Okay. Moving right along. Detroit is, in fact, the number one leasing city in the United States. And it's crazy, the numbers.
So seriously.
It has returned there. 44.5% of every car sold in Detroit is leased. Every new car, which is really, really pretty crazy.
Well, that's because all of the employees that work for
they all live there.
Manufacturers, they get an extra discount.
That's true. If you looked at the number of cars leased, New York has the number one as a state. New York is the number two, actually. And then New Jersey follows slightly after that. Also, California is a big state for leasing, and Texas is a big state for leasing.
Yeah!
Texas is just a big state, period.
That's right.
There are states, though, where they don't lease many cars at all.
That's
if you
true.
Go up into the Montana,
right,
the big wide country up there, they don't lease many cars because most people, drive
50,000
miles a year.
30,000 miles a year just to get to the store.
Yeah, and they probably just keep that same car for 10 years or until it finally just dies on them.
Your bigger cities, your metroplex areas are the ones that are going to have your higher lease rates.
The other thing is people don't keep cars, for the most part, don't keep cars long enough to drive a paid-for car very long. If you're going to buy a car, you need to drive it paid for 3 or 4 years in order to really get your money out of it.
Yes.
Right. Most people finance for 6 years now, 72 months, and then they trade it 4 or 5 because the car's out of warranty and it's starting to cost them money. Well, they've been leasing the whole time. If you're always going to have a car payment, you're leasing your car.
Mm-hmm.
You just didn't realize it. So if you call us, the payment's less.
Yeah, leasing is less. And we have a whole lot of flexibility, too. Let me just mention, I was talking to a car dealer, actually, from Kansas that called us to buy one of our pre-owned Honda Odysseys.
Mm-hmm.
He's in a rural area. They don't have a whole lot of inventory up there. Anyway, we were just kind of talking about leasing. And the bottom line is, up there, he said they have to drive so far to go anywhere. And we have a whole lot of flexibility because we're not just stuck with the manufacturer's programs. We can basically tailor the lease to fit your driving habits. So if you drive 10,000 miles a year or if you drive 25,000 miles per year, if you want to keep the car for 3 years or if you'd like to keep it for 5 years, we can structure it to fit your budget and your lifestyle. So definitely give us a call at 817-972-234-1234. And then we can discuss what would really work best for you because we do sell pre-owned cars as well. And you'll get unbiased information from us because we're going to be looking out for you. We want you to get a car from us and we want you to be happy.
Exactly.
Okay. Autoflex Leasing Fantex. This is a little off the wall, but I have a 2001 Cadillac DeVille. The back shocks seem to be going out. I've been told they might be connected to an air compressor, but I don't know where it is. Is there any way to find out? And if so, do I replace the air conditioner, blah, blah, blah. So here's the deal. Those cars did have air shocks. There's a little compressor that runs them. It's up on the front left-hand side of the car under the hood. And you can have a broken line. You can have a bad air compressor. Or you can have a shock that has – they have big rubber boots that allow them to raise and lower. One of those can be ruptured. So you'll just need to take it to a mechanic. I mean, it's simple as that, but they will sit down flat on the ground.
And those are kind of expensive.
Yes. Well, you know. And you've got an 01 Cadillac DeVille. How much do you spend to fix that car?
My folks bought a 98 Lexus LS a long time ago, and when the air shocks went out on that, it was going to be $5,000 to replace them. They sold the Lexus. It was very old at that point. It had 100-some-odd thousand miles, so they got rid of it. But it's not the cheapest thing to replace.
Autoflex Leasing Fan Text. Which car had the headlight connector problems? That's going to be the Chevrolet half-ton pickup. 2012 model was the one that was the guy wrote in about.
Here's another Autoflex Fan Texter. Just bought a used 07 VW GTI, but didn't have an owner's manual. Where can I get one? Volkswagen.
Online.
Yeah, look online, and you can just order one. It'll probably cost you $40 to $60.
Yep.
Not bad.
A lot cheaper than losing a key.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I can speak to that.
Those keys. Oh,
I have the electric key on my car. It's not the old school where you stick it in the ignition and turn it. And I took it to a valet and they lost the electric part of it. So I had the skeleton basically, but I didn't have the body. Yeah. I don't know why he took it apart. Anyway, long story short, we went and got it fixed. He paid for it, thankfully, but it was $250.
Yep.
Yeah. So if you lose the electric part of your key, it costs you a pretty penny. Be careful. Right.
You know, I read a story this last week about keys and how much they've changed and how now it's $200 to fix a key or to replace, or $250 or $300 or even $400 according
to the
key. And the keys now don't have any character. They're just a black blob.
Box. Yeah.
You know, it's just a
with a button.
In the old days, you could get a key that had a Cadillac emblem on it.
Yeah.
Or a Ford emblem. In fact, I can remember
it was a status symbol, your key, right?
I can remember you'd get keys with the car, but then people would take those to a locksmith and they would get a Ford key or a Dodge key. Whatever they drove, they would get one of those keys with that emblem, and it was called a crown. The crown of the key had the emblem of the car on there.
Well, now
and that
they
was
get,
cool.
You can just get a keychain.
Exactly.
With that brand on it.
We got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back. It is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing. David Blessingame, Tammy Pickard, Colby Sapp, and me, Sybil. Autoflex Leasing Fan Text 43733 coming in fast and furious now. We talked about structuring leases to suit your needs, and somebody said, "What if I drive 40,000 miles a year? Can
yes.
you help me?"
Yes, we can.
Got him.
Yeah,
oh no, that's
got
the
him.
Other guy. No, we can help. If you drive 40,000 miles a year, we can write a lease for you. Most people that want a lease that drive 40,000 miles a year have business usage also. So, and we have a way to work with that. We have a commercial division, in fact.
Okay, speaking of that, do you have programs designed to people who get a vehicle allowance and use their cars for work?
We do, in fact, and I'm going to guess he's going to need the AutoFlex 2 program, and we do have that, and it'll work beautifully for you. You'll have lots of choices and work with really nice people and won't get kicked around.
It's easy to do, too. Just call 817, because you're in the 682 area code, 817-234-1234. Ask for AutoFlex 2.
AutoFlex Leasing Fantex looking into a used 2012 Camry SE with 35,000 miles. Have you heard of any issues with the 2012 Camry SE? No, I have not. They're terribly reliable. They do well.
But check out TrueDelta.com to find out from the owners.
Exactly. Yeah, if you'll go to TrueDelta.com, you'll find out that they've got very, very good ratings, because I already did that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the question about rebuilding your credit.
That's for AutoFlex, too, for sure.
Yes.
So
for
call
sure.
us. We will make that very simple. For people who have had any kind of credit issues in the past, we started that division for people who were affected by the economy just like we were. And we have help. We have many different lenders that are a little more lenient than the average bank.
Mm-hmm.
They'll give you a chance.
A couple of quick car news stories. One, the designer of Ford's Edsel, Roy Brown, died at 96 years old.
Wow.
And he was Roy Brown was a very, very famous automotive designer. He started off with General Motors, worked with them for a while. He actually designed the Ford Cortina, which was one of Ford's best-selling cars in Europe. Number of designs. He also designed the car that was turned into the Batmobile for the TV show. Yeah, it was called the it was a concept car, and it was a Lincoln called the Lincoln Futura. And he designed that, and then it later became the Batmobile. But anyway, he died at 96 years old. His most famous work, unfortunately, was a car that only lasted in the market for 3 years. It was the Edsel. Yeah.
It was, what did he say? It was Ford's most successful failure.
Yeah. Well, everybody knows about the Edsel and the horse collar grill. And if people don't remember, they had push button gear changing. You could change the gears by pushing buttons that were located in the center of the steering wheel, and instead of having a gear shifter.
Weird.
Very, very forward thinking in advance. But people hated the car.
Mm. Yeah, but he wore out his hand and wrist signing people's fenders and dashboards.
Yeah.
Signing autographs.
For the collectors.
96 is a good life.
Yes.
You make it that far.
Good, long one.
Good for you, Roy Brown.
He was actually a clay modeler. That's how he got started.
Ah.
So he was a sculptor, I guess, by trade. Finally, one other thing, and this is always sort of, and I'd never really thought about why, but you go in and you look at a car, and you're looking at like a Chevrolet Malibu.
And let me just go ahead and preface this and say, never occurred to me.
The speedometer says 160 on it.
Yeah.
I don't look at the speedometer.
You don't?
I mean, when I'm driving to make sure I'm not speeding, but I don't look at how the top number.
How fast it says it goes.
I'm thinking that four-cylinder Malibu is probably not going to get 160.
Right.
So why do they do that? And so I did a little reading, and they do it for a couple of reasons. Number one, they all use the same speedometer makers. So like one speedometer maker may make speedometers for a bunch of different cars.
Mm.
And some of them may be fast, and some of them may be slow. So they're covering their bases there.
The cars.
Yeah.
Some fast cars, some slow cars.
The other thing is people like it when they think the car is going to go faster.
Yeah,
it gives it a sportier feel. So you look in, you see that 160, and you go, wow, look at that.
And I have been fooled by that. In my younger days, when speed was a factor when buying a car, I would go in and go, ooh, this one says 140, and the other one says 120. I'm going 140.
It works.
Really?
Right.
It really works.
It makes a difference. I was like 18, but yes, it made a difference.
Ever noticing.
Now,
speed.
I would be like, ooh, that one goes 140? No way.
I cannot tell you what the top speed that it says on my Ford Edge is.
It's probably going to be 140 if I had to guess. It's either 140 or 160. Now, there are a couple of cars. The 2014 Corvette, it's going to get somewhere around 200 miles an hour. So,
and that's what the speedometer
says. The speedometer is going to read 200 on that.
That's awesome.
And there's one Jag Turbo. It's got a 200-mile-an-hour speed limit also.
Does this encourage any of you to drive faster?
Well, and the government, the government hates it. NHTSA goes,
of course,
Do you remember back in the 80s, they lowered speedometers and made them not go but to 85 miles an hour?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, during the Carter administration, the government mandated that speedometers could not read more than 85 because at that point in time, they'd gone through the gas crunch and the speed limit everywhere was 55. And they said it encouraged people to drive faster when they had higher numbers on there.
Yeah, because you want to top out and see how fast you're going.
So some of the manufacturers made the 85. They did the 85, but they continued the lines after that. So you could see 90, 95, 100, 105.
What is the lines were there. Tipping point for that to stop being exciting, I wonder?
Probably 22-ish. But for a guy, excited, probably though. 50.
I was about to say the age. It's,
for it's, you, it's never.
It may be female.
It know. Could be.
Yes.
That's where it stops.
Yes. That's the age.
Where you're interested in that is female.
Good one. All right. That wraps up our show for this week. But if you want to call AutoFlex Leasing, if you sent us a fan text and we didn't get to it, you can always call 817 or 972-234-1234. We'll be back here next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. For David Blassingame and Tammy Pickard, I'm Sybil Summers. This has been the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing. Scared and a kiss, I fall off my chair.